Welcome to Chronicles of a Medium. I'm your host, Maureen Hashi, psychic medium, intuitive healer. Join me for compelling conversations into true crime, mediumship, and everything in between. What is remorse? Remorse is a deep regret coming from past wrongs, which means that anyone who has committed a criminal offense and wrongdoings is expected to display some type of remorse for their actions. And rarely have I witnessed any such emotional expression of regret from anyone who has media coverage of something they've done wrong. The remorse does not shine through. The only form of remorse that is present is the fact of remorse and loss of freedom and facing their actions that cause such deep trauma. Part of the release conditions that a lot of long-term offenders experience is that they have to do a number of steps, which I'll cover in other episodes, but they have to do some sort of restorative justice. And this is where the prisoner writes letters to his victims and gives them the opportunity to confront and say anything they want to him, ask him anything. And as someone who has experienced sexual assault and confronted my abusers, I noticed a common pattern and thread that not only is disgusting, but this practice should be stopped because it's really not for the benefit of the victims. I think the majority of victims, and I can only speak from my experience, having gone through that, while I don't identify as a victim, I have been victimized in my past, absolutely, but I don't live in that space anymore. And it's just not productive. It's not supportive healing. In fact, it opens old wounds of pain, resentment, and in many, many cases, you relive the moments that you've tried so hard to overcome and heal and release. So it pulls you back into the energy of it. And with those old energies lies this energy of emotions that pulls you right back in because it's familiar. It's an old habitual way of feeling and living that is very familiar and easy to fall back into those old ways. So often abusers victim shame. They project anger of the confrontation back to their victim. In fact, I actually had an abuser tell me that he didn't do anything to me I didn't want to happen. Like, what the actual fuck? I remember in that moment, and I'm laughing just because of the audacity of it, I was feeling such rage within me as I played out wishing for his death. I was a child. And I also prayed for my own death many, many times because I didn't see a way out. But never once did I want the experience to be abused by someone doing something to me without my consent. So oftentimes these types of people lie to themselves, and maybe these are lies that they themselves faced as they look back on the abuse that they suffered, and perhaps that these are the things they were told while being abused. It serves one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to make a claim for the guilty with the intention and focus of their own release. This is very self-serving. I don't agree with this practice. I think it does more harm than good. And this is just my opinion. Having my brother convicted of countless rapes, and some didn't come forward because they didn't have the courage and they lived in fear, to murders. And while he only was convicted of two murders, really, you know, his assault in Calgary, he left her for dead. There was only a small, slim miracle that she pulled through. So, anyway, I don't want to get into the details of those specific crimes because it's all publicized. You can go read about it. But I think it just opens deep wounds for these victims. I don't think you can go through that and want to hear from your abuser of what he went through. I remember, you know, as I worked through wanting to die myself, and releasing that energy because I knew I deserved better. It's an intense thing to go through. And then hearing all the abuse they suffered made me feel guilty and shamed for thinking that this was an atrocity that I needed to worry about. In fact, my experience was downplayed compared to their experience. So it's, you know, restorative justice does not serve a purpose, as far as I'm concerned. And like, I'm probably just one of many. Maybe, you know, other people believe that restorative justice helps and it helped them. But for me personally, I don't think it does. And I do not believe you can be a serial rapist and be healed by incarceration. Just because you lock them up doesn't mean that that sickness within them, that monster, is gone away. It's repressed, it's hidden, it's put in time out, but it's not healed. I also don't believe that making the choice to take a life, not once, not twice, but three times, that you can be healed by incarceration. Again, you're just putting a band-aid on it, putting them, in timeout. These crimes, you can't come back from. That desire still lives within the abuser, unless they have done intense therapeutic work on themselves to heal. And even then, it's like any addict, right? That desire, they don't take one drink because they don't trust themselves. I believe it's the same for rapists and murderers, that you can mask them. I think they all need to be castrated and taking away at least that ability to harm another. That desire still lives within the abuser, and it's only a matter of time before they act on this broken desire. To inflict pain on others, the same deep-seated pain that the abuser themselves have endured but inflicted upon others, will never be dealt with on any level in any federal institution. When my brother was first locked up, I had a visit from a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist or something, and he was doing a profile, and they were trying to prove he was a dangerous offender by doing psychological assessments and that sort of thing. And there wasn't enough evidence to deem him a dangerous offender. But does that mean he wasn't a dangerous offender? Does that mean that his actions that led to this point in time weren't broken enough? No, it just means that not enough criminal charges came forward at that time to say, yes, this person is a dangerous offender and should never be released from the system. Because the system is broken, and that needs to change. Because when you lock people up, it further exacerbates the situation that whatever was broken in them and whatever they go through in the system, whether it's self-inflicted, other inmates, the running system of correctional services, whatever it is, it only further aids the problem of their brokenness. It does not mean that just because they've done this time and they've been in time out and that they know what they did, they're not 5 years old. Like, these are people that have made some really drastic choices in their life. And for me personally, I am not interested in what they went through. What brought you to the point of committing violent acts and criminal behavior? This is not an expression of remorse to me or accountability. It only further proves the lack of accountability which got them there in the first place. There is no answer to why. Why me? Why then? Nothing can make that situation better by making excuses for the decisions to further act abuse onto other people. Abuse, unfortunately, is a part of many criminals' past and upbringing, which is the problem, because when you are a child and a victim of abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, mental, emotional, all the things, it's not your fault. It wasn't in your control. What happened wasn't your fault. When you were a victim of that abuse, it wasn't your fault, plain and simple. The problem is when you willfully abuse another person because you yourself have past abusing situations, it's a choice that they've made, and it either adds to the resolution of a problem or it contributes to it. So sharing the things in their past doesn't take it away. It doesn't, oh, I understand now. Oh, you were raped, so you wanted to rape me. I get it now. That's all better. No. I think, you know, there really is nothing to say that's ever going to make a person that's experienced a victim of violent crimes, rapes, murder, whatever. Nothing that your abuser says is going to help you make sense of that. You have to work through those issues completely separate. And so it would, I think, you know, cause further pain to have this continue. And, you know, they've destroyed other people's lives, invaded their personal space, and take what is not yours. It's just deplorable. Deep within humanity is the innate ability to decipher what is right and uplifting and what makes your soul feel good. And so is the ability to feel wrong and what makes your soul feel bad or sad. A temporary pleasure of the flesh is not the same as soul happiness. And it's important not to confuse the two, because your physical being will experience temporary pleasures based on past pains. That's why people do the weird shit they do, is because they've associated it with pleasure. But it's not the same as soul happiness, because it further puts you down into a place of remorse, guilt, shame, and then, you know, other problems come into play where you drink, you abuse drugs, you cause further harm to yourself and others, and it goes on and on and on because it's the cycle of codependency and dysfunction. And from a very young age, I knew I wanted better for my life. Did I know how to do better? No. Or have the wisdom to get to the right place or do it right the first time? No. There's been many, many lessons and many, many blessings that have come with those really harsh times in my life. But I sure as hell worked towards figuring that shit out. Like, I didn't just sit here and go, maybe one day I'll be better. Otherwise, you know, criminals wouldn't go through such lengths if they didn't know right from wrong, if they didn't feel in their core that their actions were wrong, they wouldn't go to such great lengths to cover up their crimes or hide their wrongdoings or keep it private from other people in their pathways, you know? And so the other part I've noticed was, besides having very little support systems for family members of the perpetrator, you know, in my case, it was my brother. In other cases, it could be, you know, your father or your child or whatever, you know. There's not a lot of help out there. No one talks about it because no one wants to hear from you because you are guilty by association in most cases. And that doesn't make it true. That's just how society views you. Oh, you know, they are the way they are because of you, meaning the parents. And I know my mom really suffered with that. And the abuse my mom had gone through, one thing you could never wonder about was the fact my mom loved her kids and she went and fought for her kids. She tried. Did she make mistakes? 100%. You know, was she also addicted to pain medication? 100%. Did she have her shortcomings? 100%. Was she neglectful? Absolutely. There were times in my mother's life where she shut down and couldn't function from what she'd been through and didn't know how to get help. Back in the 70s, there wasn't anyone rushing to your side to help you with 5 kids. You know, they've truly had their own belief systems back then. So, you know, it's really tough. And many individuals that have the stance of supporting their abusers or people that have done and committed these horrible acts, it's not because they're blind to the actions of it, because they absolutely think, okay, yeah, you should be in jail, man, because, like, you fucked up and this is horrible. But they also get blinded with the energy of that codependent relationship, because most times the person that's supporting them, and I can speak from personal experience, because I didn't realize that I had been so badly abused by my brother until I had that awakening through just, you know, my memory was triggered by watching that show, was I got to support him out of guilt. I felt bad for the little boy that I thought I knew. And the truth is that the brother that I created within my own belief system, the brother that I thought I had, probably never existed. It was just something I needed to believe because he was my brother and I wanted to feel that family connection. And it's freaking sad, man. And no one changes a nanosecond before they're ready. Healing really is a lifelong commitment, and you can have good days and bad days. And some days are way easier than others. When it comes to doing the work, there is no quick fixes. There is no medication, because when you take away the medication, I'm not saying stop your medication. If you need medication, continue taking your medication, continue seeing your therapist, do the work. But you really need to get to the root of the problem and do the daily work by changing old patterns, reinvent yourself, try new things, and most importantly, let go. Because when you change what's in your power to do so, you stop reliving it. Find the balance of sharing with your friends or your loved one or talking about it all the time to being present, because you keep yourself tethered to the abuse, to what made you a victim in the first place. You have to stop living in that space and that shadow of your assault. It's time for you to let go, build new pathways to memories of love, joy, and happiness. You have to create peace within yourself. Learn to love again. Get to know the new you outside of your childhood traumas, anything that you've survived, because you did it. This is your time to thrive, to find your voice in positive healing ways, letting go of the past doesn't diminish what you've experienced or what you've endured. It really helps you through those times to go, this was a real tangible thing. It really happened. It was intense for my life. Now I need to do the work and let it go, because you are going to exhaust people around you by staying in this chronic way of dysfunction, and you further continue on patterns of abuse. And I've had many, many years of deep work on a cellular trauma by first understanding the level of codependency that I had to the dysfunction, habitual patterns of generations not working through. It wasn't a common practice to go, let's talk about your feelings, let's talk through this, here's a better way to solve this. I mean, there was none of that shit. So I learned how to say no and not feel guilty. I learned the 12 steps to freedom and healing the pathways of thought trauma, because that is a huge, massive thing I've learned, is thought trauma is so powerful, because the mind is a powerful, powerful tool. And if you can start healing those aspects, because you weren't taught that. You weren't taught healthy relationships with thought and how they impact your emotions, how they impact your behavior, how you move through your experience, and how to function without sabotaging your own success and healing journey. You really have to change the way you're viewing it, change the connection to the thought, and then the emotions that soon follow, because you don't live there anymore and you don't have to keep experiencing this. True happiness, true contentment, and true peace didn't come easy. It really is a choice I've made for myself. And it wasn't until I reached these levels of understanding that I was able to remember my sexual assault. It wasn't until I completely healed my life and, you know, found some peace within the dysfunctions of an abusive religious father and the cult that he belonged to of evangelical ways. And if you've ever been to one, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not bashing, you know, true relationships with a higher power. I'm just saying a lot of man-made religions, it's very culty. Gotta watch out for them. And I had a good foundation for my healing, and I was in a really good place. I learned to manage my anger through not allowing it to bubble up and take over and then respond to it and give it the stage and, you know, give it time. Because it didn't deserve any more time than it had taken from my life, because I was an angry individual. I could, you know, fire up real easy, and I'm not proud of that. It is something that I've worked very hard on, not to feed my anger. And I can still feel mad about something or a sense of unjust, but it hasn't taken over my life anymore. I think the biggest things that I've really struggled with was anger, was fear, and self-worth. And when I got to all of the core, what stirred my anger, what stirred my fear, what was stirring my self-worth, at the root of it was the assaults and the abuse and feeling all alone in my healing journey. But honestly, your healing journey is personal. It should be done alone. This is something that you have to take time and get to know yourself and allow yourself those moments of brokenness and doing better. And if you don't know how to do it, find a book. Talk to people that have gone through it. Listen to podcasts. By, you know, join groups. One of the groups I joined at the very beginning was Conquering Codependency through a church that I was going to at the time. And I really learned a lot. I didn't stay in the groups because what I found is it perpetuates the same. There's no growth. There's no momentum forward. Those groups, everyone just seems to kind of stay in the same abuse. They keep talking about it and reliving it, and there's no momentum forward. I'm not knocking it. I'm saying it helped me, but I was also evolving and changing. So did the things I looked up. One of the books that I've really, and there's better books out there now, I'm sure, but How to Say No and Not Feel Guilty. Because if you live in a codependent family, you know that saying no is really fucking hard. It's hard to say those things to the people around you because they make you feel bad. They make you feel responsible for their happiness. And, you know, we're all responsible for our own happiness. And no one person can be your everything. You have to learn to be self-love. You have to learn what it is to be independent. You have to create your own pathways so that you can thrive. Be the love you desire. Be the change you want to experience. Learn to be calm. And it's going to be a process. This is going to be a life commitment for you. The healing process is never done. There's certainly triggers that are going to trigger you, or conversations or people that you're going to instantly feel those old mechanisms of coping, like rage, anger, fear, and then question your self-worth, you know? So keep doing the work. Don't get discouraged. You've been listening to Chronicles of a Medium. I'm your host, Maureen Hashi, psychic medium, intuitive healer. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope that this has shed a little bit of light and understanding and inspires you to find your courage. And I'll leave you with this. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Until next time. The light in me honors the light in you.